is how to turn a bad day into a good day. And every single one of us here, in our life, we've experienced those moments when we've had bad days. You may be having a bad day today, and a bad day is not limited to just a day or 24-hour period. I mean, a bad day could be 5 years long. It could be 10 years long. Some of you could say, my whole life has been a bad day, and you've been experiencing that. But I believe this is that God can turn what is bad into something good. God can turn a bad day into a good day. God can turn a bad marriage into a good marriage, a bad life into a good life. In fact, every one of us here, I would assume that we can look in our life and we can see some time in our life when we can say, this was bad, but God made it good. This was bad, but God made it good. My marriage was bad, but God made it good. My relationship with my children was bad, but God made it good. Or relationship with your parents. The addiction in my life was bad, but God made my life good. We can all see that there are ways that God can turn things in our life around. And what we've been doing in this series is we've been looking at the seven things that Jesus said while he hung on the cross. There are seven things Jesus said. Last week, we talked about the most important thing, I believe, and it was to forgive those who are trying to ruin your life. There are people out there who are trying to ruin your life. I want to tell you, unless we learn how to forgive people, they will ruin our life. When you learn how to forgive someone, what you do is you take the power away from them of making you a victim. You remove the power. You're basically saying, I'm not going to be a victim of them tormenting me. I'm going to forgive them. And that's what Jesus said as he hung on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. These are the people that had crucified him. They pierced his body. He's bleeding out. They whipped him. They tortured him. They humiliated him as he hung on the cross. Yet Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. The first thing, the most important thing for you in turning a bad day into a good day is you need to learn how to forgive people. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Forgive those who are trying to ruin your life. The second thing was this, is we said, remember those who are going through the same thing you're going through. I believe one of the best things you can do is to be a blessing to someone who's facing the same trial as you. You know, I said last week, if you're having a depressing day, wake up and determine that today I'm going to put a smile on somebody else's face. Amen. You're going to do what you need in your life. You see, Jesus, as he hung on the cross and that thief hanging there with him, turned to him and said, will you remember me? Jesus could have easily said, can't you see I'm busy right now? Can't you see that I'm a little more bust up than you are? I think I got some things I got to deal with. That's not what Jesus said. He said, surely today, I'm going to remember you. You will be with me in paradise. Jesus remembered. They were both on the cross, yet Jesus was a blessing to that person who was going through the same thing that he was doing. So this morning, I want to look at two more things. Number one is this. Be sure you've taken care of those near to you. Be sure that you've taken care of those who are near to you. Just because your life is falling apart, just because your life is not the way that you'd want it to be, don't let everything else fall apart. Some people will neglect their spouse, their children, and their friends. But I want to tell you that when your life is hard, when your life is going rough, don't forget about your family and those who are close to you. We can justify at times in saying, well, I'm having a hard time. I'm going through hell. My life is not the way that I want it to be. And we can justify ourselves in pushing people away, that putting up walls, putting up things. I need my space. I need my space. Don't forget about your family, because even in the middle of bad days, life goes on. Children still need love and care. Spouses still need attention. You know, as a dad, I'm a dad. I have three children. I'm a husband. I'm married. I have a wonderful wife. I'm also a pastor, and I have a great church family here. I've realized is that even in the middle of my bad days, I can't check out. I don't have the luxury of checking out. You know, this morning, if you have family, if you have children, if you have a spouse, you don't have the luxury of checking out in the bad days. You say, why is that? Because they still need you. They still need you. Even when life is tough, they need you. And we can easily justify our trials and our hard times in saying, well, I got to look out for myself and push everyone else away. You know, that's not what Jesus did. As Jesus hung on the cross in John chapter 19, verse 25, it says, standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister Mary, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, who was this John, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to this disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. You see, Jesus was hanging on the cross. He didn't say, "Woman, here's your son." In other words, "Here I am hanging on the cross." He said, "Woman, here's your son." In other words, "Here's your new son, John. This is your son." And he said, "John, here's your mom." You know, you don't hear about Joseph in the latter part of Jesus' life. When Jesus was being crucified, Joseph wasn't there. Many scholars believe that Joseph was actually a lot older than Mary was. And so he probably died years before, which left Jesus as the oldest son. Two things. Number one was to become a carpenter, to take the family business. But the second thing was to care for his mother. In that society, if you didn't have a man in your life, if you didn't have a son to care for you, if you didn't have a husband, if you didn't have a guy to speak out for you, you basically didn't have any power. You were in trouble. I mean, you were going to, unless you were very wealthy, you'd be destined to probably being a beggar. Your life would just be horrible. Jesus was taking care of his mother. But Jesus knew that here he was reaching a new phase in his life. His life on earth, being on earth, was going to end. His mom needed to be cared for. You know, like we said with the criminals on the cross. Again, Jesus could have easily justified, here's the point, he's hanging on the cross. He has a crown of thorns in his head. They whipped him with a whip with pieces of bone and metal on it. They tore into his body. He's there hanging naked, nails in his hands, nails in his feet. He's bleeding out. He's dying. And yet, as he's hanging there, he looks down, he sees his mom, and he says, "I got to take care of mom. I need to take care of my family. John, this is your mom." The Bible says that John took her and cared for her until she died. Can I encourage you this morning, even in the middle of your bad day, don't forget about your family. Don't forget about those who are closest to you. Because even when you're suffering, they still need you. They still need you in their life. It's easy for us to focus on our problems. In fact, our problems can consume us at times at the expense of our families. I think it's very sad when you hear about families that go through tragedy. You know, maybe it's a child who's passed away or a child gets cancer. Maybe it's a spouse going to cancer or the loss of a loved one. And there's some tragedy that rocks that relationship and brings pain. And you see that the marriage might not be right away, but maybe a couple months later or a couple years later, the marriage just falls apart. And usually they can trace it back to that place because they started distancing themselves in the middle of their bad day. And I want to encourage you this morning, don't forget about those whom you love. Don't forget about those who love you. And don't justify yourself in saying, "I'm going to put up these walls because I'm having a hard time." 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers." Don't forget about your family. Don't forget about your loved ones. Galatians 6:9 says, "So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time." Everybody say the right time. Don't you wish God's time was your time? But what it says is the right time. I've realized that the right time is not my time, because my time is now. But God has a right time. And he says, "Don't grow weary in well-doing, because at the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to" who? Everyone. We don't always want to do good to everyone, because not everyone always does good to us. But the Bible says we should do good to everyone. Do not grow weary. Do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. If you're here this morning, you serve Jesus Christ, you're in the family of faith. I hope that we can do good to everyone, especially to each other. Even when you don't feel like it, even when it's tough, don't grow weary, because sooner or later, you're going to reap that harvest. You're going to reap the blessing from God in your life. And I want to encourage you, don't forget those, even when you're going through a hard time. You are a big part of what your family needs. Don't forget about them. Don't Husbands, don't forget about your wives. Wives, don't forget about your husbands. When you're going through a hard time, don't push them out. That's the best time to open your life and let them in. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Second thing is this. Aim your hard questions at God, not man. Aim your hard questions at God and not man. As Jesus hung on the cross in Matthew 27:45, it says, at noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? As Jesus there on the cross, hanging there, Jesus directed the tough question to the right person. The tough question to the right person. He asked God. He said, God, why have you abandoned me? Why have you abandoned me? And what I want you to leave this place knowing this morning is that there is absolutely nothing wrong with asking God the hard question.
Amen. Amen.
I should say the hard questions. Has anybody here? I'm gonna ask for a show of hands, all right? And the reason I will is because I think pretty much everyone's going to respond to this. Has anyone here ever had a tough question you wanted to ask God, but you didn't want to ask because you thought that it would be a lack of faith? Is there anybody here? Yeah, if you look around, everyone, almost everyone, everyone here can say, we feel it's a lack of faith if we ask God. I used to think that, and one day I realized, you know, God, I guess you can read my mind, you know my heart. So if I already thought it, you know it, so I might as well say it. And I want to tell you this morning, whatever question you have, whatever question you want to ask God, it will not catch God off guard. He's not going to be, oh, I didn't see that one coming. Who's this on caller ID? We're going to send that one straight to voicemail. I don't want to answer that question. That's not God. It's not going to catch him off guard. There's absolutely nothing wrong with directing the tough questions to God. In fact, I would say that's where all of your questions need to go. And the best place that you'll ever find answers from God is right here in the Bible. This is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. Sometimes we're thinking, I need someone to prophesy over me. I wish someone, you know, open your Bible once in a while. I think we miss that this is the Word of God. And at times you just might find the words you need. You know, I don't know, you may want to scripture vomit. Some people do that, right? Be careful. You know, that's dangerous at times. But read the Word of God. It's a great place to hear God speak to you. And while we're talking about that, I would say this, is that don't get any spiritual advice, don't get any life, family, marriage advice from anyone who doesn't have a godly worldview. Can I just really encourage you on that? It can mean the difference between life and death. You got to be careful who you allow to speak into your life. I talk to people, and I have people that will tell me, well, we're seeing a counselor. They said this or they said that. I should do this. I should do that. I should do this, and I should do that. I always say, well, are they a Christian? Because sometimes when they're not Christian, you're going to get some wacky advice.
Amen.
When people don't have a godly worldview, if I'm getting counsel, I want to know that whoever's counseling me believes that there is a God in heaven, first of all right? I want to believe. I want to know that. I don't want them to just give me some medication and say, you'll be better. No, I want them to look into my life and say, well, is there some demonic oppression? Is there some spiritual root? Is there something going on that needs to be dealt with? You know, we helped one of our friends go to marriage counseling, and Christian counselor talked to him a couple months later. I said, how was it? He said, boy, it was amazing. In the middle of the session, you know, she started praying in the spirit. She started just prophesying some things that were just right on the money over our life. And we were just sitting there crying as she began to do that. I'm like, that's the kind of counseling that I need. That's the kind of counseling I want. I want someone that has that godly worldview. And I'd encourage you the same thing. Get counsel from people that are in fellowship with the Lord. If you're having financial problems, don't go to your buddy who got $20 in his savings account and ask for advice. If your marriage is going through a hard time, don't go and ask your friend who's on his third marriage right now how to make it work. Can we just be real this morning? In fact, I just had somebody else tell me that. He goes, years ago, my wife and I were getting marriage counseling. And she was telling us some, the counselor was telling us some things. And I said, are you married? She said, no. I said, why aren't you married? She said, I just got divorced. He goes, I stood up and I walked out. Like, wow, I didn't say to do that. But, you know, I mean, this was years ago. I mean, I didn't even know the person then. Years ago. But it's a common sense that if you want to get help, you want to find somebody that's where you want to be. And this morning, I want to encourage you, if you're going to get counsel, make sure you go into the right place, go into the right thing. And if you're going to be asking questions, make sure you're asking the right person. And there are some questions that no one can answer. You ask God. If you ask the right questions to the wrong person, you will get the wrong answer. And I want to encourage you, go to the Lord. You know, David understood that. In Psalms 13:1, he said, O Lord, how long will you forget me forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Those are some pretty tough questions. Wouldn't you agree? I think David was frustrated. And I was thinking about this. Sometimes we read the Psalms and we're laying in bed and you're getting ready to sleep, or you wake up in the morning and you read your Bible. So we read it calmly, you know, kind of just filter through our mind. But as I was thinking about this verse, I imagine this is how David read it, okay? Oh Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Do you ever feel like talking to God like that sometimes? I want you to know that there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong. If you're going to be frustrated with anyone, again, be frustrated with God. He can handle it. That's what Job did. You read the book of Job. I mean, he's just basically questioning God. The whole book, his whole life falls apart. You don't talk about a bad day. Job was having a bad day. His whole life fell apart. He questions God. But just be careful. I should have told the first service this. When you question God, you read the book of Job, God's going to come down. He may question you. So you better get ready. Because Job, that's what I love about the book of Job. I've read through that a number of times. You read through it. They're all questioning God. You know, Job's questioning God. They're all in and all of a sudden it says the whirlwind appears. And God goes, where were you when I formed the foundation of the world? You're like, whoa, okay, God, never mind. Drop the question. There's nothing wrong this morning with adding questions to your prayers. I think sometimes our prayers are so structured, they're so formal, they're so sweet, and they're so nice. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're going through a bad day, don't ever feel bad to put questions in your prayers. Make it real. Make it what's on your heart. Talk to God about it. And I want to encourage you in that. It's not a lack of faith. I tell you what, it's more faith than ever because you're asking God. You're trusting God even more than trying to do it on your own. When you don't ask questions, you're trying to do it on your own. You're in trouble. You know, if you're a guy, you know, the guys used to joke. I mean, that's always the joke. Men never want to ask for directions. You guys hear that joke? It's not so bad now because now we got GPS. Thank God. You don't know how much vacations that has saved, marriages that have been healed because of GPS. Years ago, I was in Seattle. We were at a conference, and there were five of us in one car, guys. And we were looking for this place that we were lost. And we were lost for like 45 minutes. My dad was driving. And I remember I kept saying, let's just stop and ask for directions. And then somebody else would say, no, it's probably right around the corner. I was so upset. We didn't want to ask questions. Why? We were trying to do it on our own. Finally, after 45 minutes, they heeded the voice of wisdom, And we stopped, we got directions, and we got there right away. Don't be afraid to ask God. When you stay quiet, it's not a lack of faith. You're saying, I'm going to do it on my own. When you ask God questions, you're saying, God, I need you. God, I need your answer. God, I need your counsel in my life. God, I need you to direct me in this hard time, in the hard day of my life. There is a price to pay when trusting God on the bad days, on those days when the hard questions wreck your mind and torture your soul. The rock-solid truth remains: the evidence of God's word provides the unchanging, timeless assurance again and again that your cry will never fall on deaf ears. Isn't that good news? Your cry will never fall on deaf ears, and there will always be an answer in his time. Yuck. His time is not my time, but in his time. In his time. And I should say, in the right time. Because our time ain't the right time. In his time, there will be an answer. And God's answer will always be in your best interest. Trust in God. Ask the hard questions to the right person. Just like Jesus did on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? He asked the right question to the right person. And I want to encourage you in that. When you need counsel in your life, find people that have a godly worldview. Find people that believe in the Bible. Find people that believe in the Word of God. And I tell you, it can make all the difference in your marriage and in your relationship and in all that you do. Amen. I want to pray for you this morning. You know, we talked about those two things. We talked about asking the right questions to the right person. And we talked about caring for our family and our loved ones. And this morning, you know, you may be going through that difficult time. You may be going through a difficult season. And if you just take a few moments this morning, just ask yourself, God, what are you speaking to me through this message? What are you speaking to me through this message? What resonated in your heart? Maybe you've been here and you've had the questions. You've had the tough questions. You've been afraid to ask. Maybe you could identify with what I said about putting up the walls. You've been going through depression. You've been going through just a difficult time. And you've pushed your children, your spouse away. But as we looked at Jesus today, as bad as his life was, as bad as his day was going, about to die, he looked down and he cared for those who were close to him. Father God, we just thank you this morning. God, I thank you for everyone that's here. Lord, and I pray that in some form or some way that the message this morning has resonated with their heart. God, that we'll have the faith and confidence to come to you with the tough questions. And Lord, we'll have the faith and the confidence to keep on loving even when our life may be falling apart. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. I'm so grateful for the example of Jesus Christ as he navigated what was the worst day and turned it around to be one of the best days ever. God, I believe the same thing can happen for our lives today, Lord, that seasons can change. It's not over. It's not finished. God, your promises are unending. Lord, we believe this is just the beginning today. God, there's a new season. For someone's marriage out there, there is a new season right around the corner. There's a new day. A new day. As you forgive, you let go of the past, there is a new day We just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. You know, this morning, we're going to get ready to dismiss.